those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth had heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. Behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Today in the town of Judah, we have the most unusual and unlikely of meetings between two expectant mothers reunite, which in and of itself isn't all that unusual, I know, especially considering they are related. But think about this. One, Saint Elizabeth is old enough to be a great-grandmother. She is formerly barren, yet she is in the third trimester of her pregnancy. And the other, Saint Mary, just began her pregnancy, and yet she is a virgin. Two unlikely mothers, to be sure. But guess what? With God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. Now, Luke doesn't tell us why Saint Mary goes to visit Saint Elizabeth. But you've got to wonder, right? You got to wonder what it's like to hear from an angel that you're about to conceive God in your womb. Also add to the fact that she was betrothed, right? And therefore she was supposed to be, she was expected to be a virgin. And yet she turns out to be with child. I guarantee you that in the town, the tongues of wicked men were wagging back and forth against the mother of our Lord. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes it's just best to get up and get out of town. Anyone ever felt like that? I have. And to take up even with relatives who at least would try, at least they should try because they're family, they should at least try to understand what Holy Mary is going through. And if anyone would understand what she's going through, guess who it's going to be? Elizabeth. Elizabeth. A senior citizen well past her childbearing years, who by the power of God is 3 months away from delivering a son of her own. Saint John the Forerunner. So a pregnant virgin and a pregnant elderly woman come together in Judah. This is not normal. And as soon as Mary greets her cousin Elizabeth, John in her womb leaps for joy, leaps for joy. You see, John is already praising Jesus Christ. But he isn't even born yet, and he's praising the Lord. Now think about that. There are some today who say that life in the womb is somehow less than human, or less than aware, or that the Word of God simply can't get there, can't reach a child in the womb, or that infants can't believe, they can't receive the gift of faith, and so then, of course, they can't be baptized and the like. John, from his mother's womb, is praising God. Right? John, from his mother's womb, has heard the word of Christ, has heard the gospel. Because John was actually preaching through his mother, right? She was his interpreter. The scripture says that the prophet John would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. That's what was foretold about this man. And so, filled with the Holy Spirit, Saint Elizabeth blesses her younger cousin, Saint Mary, and says, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." That's exactly what she says. Saint Mary is what every Israelite woman longed to be, the mother of the Messiah. She is the exact counterpart to Eve. Right? Eve heard the word of Satan in the garden and was what? She was seduced into slavery. Saint Mary heard the word of God and she said, "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word, O Lord." That's what she says. Quite different than Eve. Right? So where Eve gave birth to death, what does Saint Mary give birth to? Life. Life himself. Eve's son was the crusher of his brother's head, but Saint Mary's son is the crusher of Satan's head, that ancient serpent who took captive Eve and all of her sons and daughters. Mary is the ultimate fulfillment of motherhood in bearing forth the promised Savior of humanity. She is the epitome of motherhood. And she brings a unique dignity to women that men just can't even approach. Sorry, we just can't. Right? A dignity that no man will ever, ever have. Right? Because, daughters of Eve, through one of your own, God has rained down from heaven and poured forth the righteousness of even the Son of God. And men, we can't do that. We can't be a picture and a type and an image of that in the way that they can. Because what an honor, what a beautiful dignity you daughters of Eve have. Saint Elizabeth calls Saint Mary the mother of my Lord, the mother of my Lord. She says, "Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And that sentence right there ought to give us pause. Ought to give us pause. Right, this is the very heart of the mystery of the incarnation of God. The Lord of the universe, the one through whom all things were made, the all-powerful Yahweh, who spoke all things into existence by his mighty word, that same one has a mother. That same one was born forth in the womb of this woman. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The infinite, almighty Son of God takes up residence in the finite borders of his mother's womb. God has made her to be the Holy of Holies. Saint Mary has become the Ark of the Covenant, carrying in her body the new and everlasting covenant whose name is Jesus. The fullness of deity has deigned to dwell with us bodily, and he took his body, my brothers and sisters, from the flesh of Saint Mary. The Creator literally makes himself to become the creature. And so Mary is, as the Council of Chaldean has called her, the Theotokos. She is the one who bore God himself in her womb. Now, it's certainly the case that Jesus, being God, could have just showed up on earth any way that he wanted to, right? He could have just shown up on earth as a 30-year-old man and wouldn't have to have gone through any of the things that are necessary in this life to go through in order to grow up and become an adult. God can dwell among us any way that he chooses. But don't you know that he knows how us human beings are, doesn't he? We would cast doubts all over his work. We'd ask, does he really embrace all of our humanity? Does he embrace everything that it means to be a human being? Is he really completely human? Or does he just appear that way, right? That's an early heresy in the church. Does he just appear that way? Arius said that. Right? If Jesus did not have a human mother, we would forever doubt his humanity. And in doubting his humanity, we would question whether he really took up our humanity into his divinity. We'd question whether or not he's really our substitute under the law. Right? Did he actually accomplish it for us as a human being? And so we'd question whether or not his death then actually atones for our sin. Whether he's truly the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If he wasn't born of Mary, we would doubt that his death embraced all of humanity. Right? The newly born, even the unborn. We'd probably even doubt whether his death on the cross was real or not, wouldn't we? That's another heresy, right? And not just this sort of piece of divine magic that God makes a special effect, that God makes it look like he only died on the cross, when really he didn't, because he wasn't fully man. We don't think about it that much. But if Jesus had just shown up as a 30-year-old man, what would he have bypassed in this life? Well, he would have bypassed so many of the things that human beings have to live and experience. And some of the most difficult parts of being a human being, the most painful parts, the trauma of childbirth, the utter dependency of infancy, all of the scrapes, all of the bruises that we get when we fall down and cut ourselves, right? The awkwardness of adolescence, and yes, I did say the awkwardness of adolescence. It had to be this way. Had to be this way. For Jesus to literally be the Savior of all. His human nature embraces all of humanity. From the tiniest cluster of cells in a mother's womb to the dying breath of a man on a cross. Because don't forget, that's how old Jesus is in the gospel today. He is a tiny cluster of human cells in the gospel. We know this because this is immediately after the Annunciation and Mary's becoming pregnant. So literally, from the womb to the tomb, Jesus embraces all that it means to be a human. He embraces humanity fully, not partially, but totally. And he embraces it with the fullness of his divinity. Elizabeth blesses Mary for her faith. Because Mary took God at his word. And that is something that we have trouble with, don't we? We have trouble taking God at his word, the word that endures forever. She put her trust in the word of God. And so St. Mary is also the picture of every single believer that has ever lived. She hears that impossible word, right? That in her virginity, right? It's almost laughable that in her virginity, she would bear forth God himself. She hears that word from God, and you know what she does? She believes it. She believes it. He will come and he will save his people from their sins. And she responds as only faith can respond to the impossible word of God. Amen, she says. Be it done to me according to thy word. Whatever you say, Lord, let that be unto me. Amen. That is exactly how it is with us. God says to us, in my Son Jesus, you have the forgiveness of your sins. You have life. You have salvation. You even have peace between God and men. You have everything that you could ever need in fullest measure. And you will even bear him in your own bodies. Just like Mary, you will bear him in your bodies. You will be the tabernacle of God yourselves. And faith says, Amen. Be it done unto me according to your word. God says to us in baptism, this washing of regeneration, he says, it's your new life. It is the washing away of your sins. It is your rebirth, your renewal. You're being brought near to God again. And faith says, Amen, Amen. Whatever your word says, Lord, be it done to me. Christ says to us, you're forgiven. And we know ourselves. We know that not one of us here deserves. We know what we've done. We know what we think. We know what we do in the dark of night. And Christ comes to you and says, your sins are as far from you as the east is from the west. And what does faith say? Faith says, Amen. Be it done to me as you say, Lord. Jesus says, this is my body. Given for you, my blood shed for you. And we say, Amen. Impossible. Impossible. And yet with God, we say, Amen, yes, Lord. As you say. St. Mary was the first Christian. She is at the same time our sister and our mother, who bore the singular dignity of bearing the word of God in her womb. And for that, today we bless her with Elizabeth and with St. John. She is a perpetual symbol to us that with God nothing is impossible. Nothing. An old couple has a son in their old age. A young woman conceives in her virginity. The dead are raised. You and I, who were born in the mire of sin and death, are made able to stand righteous and justified before our Father. God has rained down righteousness from the heavens upon us. Because with a God who loves us so much to take on our flesh and to embrace all of our humanity and to come to us, there's nothing that's impossible. In the name of Jesus, Amen.